Thanks for coming up here, guys. So today in the gospel lesson, which we're about to read, Jesus teaches a parable, which is a story that we see in everyday life, or things we could see in everyday life, but that teach us a big spiritual point or message. And he talks about a farmer going out to plant. Now, nowadays, you get the tractor out, and you pull the planter behind you, and it kind of does a lot of the work. In Jesus' day, you go out there by hand, and you, what are these? Go for it. Seeds, yeah, seeds. And there's a big bag of seeds. So the sower would put on the this bag of seeds, and then he would go and he'd throw the seeds into the field. Some of the seed, what would happen if we planted a seed on here? What's this? Julius? Bricks, yeah. What would happen if we planted a seed right there? Would it do very well? No, probably a mouse or a bird would come get it. If we planted a seed, what's in here? What's in here? There's a little bit of soil, but what's mostly in there? Yeah, rocks, right? So you got rocks. And then if you planted a seed in there, what would happen to the plant? Yeah, die. Probably like this guy, right? He died. Now, there's a lot of dirt in the bottom of this, but what would happen if we planted a seed in here?
It would grow.
It would grow, but then what would happen? Yeah, die. The weeds would get to it, right? So, now what about if we planted seeds in this ground? Like this seed was planted in, or this bulb, technically. It would grow, right? And so God says his word is the seed, right? And it's our job as his followers, you know, that he's grown us as a good plant, to plant the seed, and we plant it into people's hearts, right? We tell others about Jesus. We can have a seed. We can have a seed. We plant the seed in people's hearts by sharing God's word. And we're thankful that we understand. And the seed might end up, it might be like somebody's heart is like the hard path or the rocky soil or the weeds, but also the good soil. And we don't know exactly which is which when we talk to a person, but we plant the seed because the seed has the power. Because what does God's word tell us about? What's on the back wall there? A cross. It tells us about Jesus, right? That Jesus died on the cross to take all of our sins away. And we want people to know this message, that their sins are forgiven in Jesus, and they have eternal life in him. And so we plant the seed. Let's pray and thank Jesus for this great seed we get to plant. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us that you are our Savior. For others who planted the seed in our heart, and we thank you for making it grow. And we ask you to help us as we share the word with others to help it grow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds followed or gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on those rocky places. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And then he says later, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Plant seeds of God's word on hard soil, on rocky soil, on thorny soil, and on good soil. Thank God for good seed to sow and pray for good soil. It had been a busy Sabbath day as Jesus was going along and he was making his way into town. And the Pharisees were constantly challenging him, and especially at this point in his ministry. And they were watching everything he did. As they walked along, some of his disciples took some of the outer rows of grain or wheat or whatever it was, and they grabbed some to eat on the way and ground it in their hands and ate it, which was perfectly legal according to God's law. And then the Pharisees accused them of doing work on the Sabbath. But Jesus had to correct them and show this one. No, this was totally appropriate for them to do. They go into the synagogue, and there's a man there with a shriveled hand. And Jesus says, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretches it out. He healed him. And the Pharisees come after him, and they say, "You're doing work on the Sabbath." And he has to correct them and show them, no, this is totally appropriate. You can help people on the Sabbath. This is in line with God's will for you. He goes out, and he's walking along the way, and the crowds are gathering around him, and he's healing the sick who are among them. And then there's a man who's demon-possessed, and he can't see. He's blind, and he's mute. He can't talk. And Jesus heals him so he can see and he can speak. And then they accused him of being in league with the devil to cast out or to rebuke a demon. And Jesus corrects them again. And then they have the gall to ask for a sign, as if they had not seen enough. And what sign would ever be enough? Jesus gives them a sign in this, that he was going to die and rise again. The sign of Jonah he gives to them. He goes out of the house where he's teaching, and he goes and he sits down by the lake, and such the crowds gathered around him again, and so he teaches them. And to do so, he hops in a boat, sits in the boat, pushes off a ways, a natural auditorium there, so they could hear him as he teaches from the water. And he speaks to them in parables, and in these parables, he's teaching a something that's true to life in every day that people would see, but he's showing them a very, very big spiritual point. A heavenly meaning, if you will, from this. And he speaks to them about a sower, a farmer, who goes out and he sows his seed. And everyone could picture that. Maybe in the background there is a sower, we don't know, but something everybody would see in true to life. And they cast seed, and obviously you're aiming for the rows, but seed's going to fall everywhere. But as a farmer, you plant the seed, right? And he wants his disciples, he wants you and me, his followers, to plant seeds of God's word. And God's word is the seed. As we plant, some's going to fall on hard soil, on rocky soil, on thorny soil, and in good soil. And he teaches us what to expect and what to be ready for as we go out to plant this seed of God's word. Plant it on hard soil. Some will reject the seed that you plant. Some don't want it. You share God's word with a friend. You start to tell them about a God who loves them, about their Savior, whether it's a friend, a coworker, your spouse, a stranger, anybody. And what reaction is there? Sometimes it's like they don't want to hear it. It's hard soil, it seems, you're sowing seed on. And they maybe come up with reasons why to put down Christianity or to put down the seed that you're sharing and say, you know what, that's a crutch for the weak. That's for the simple-minded. You're letting other people control you. What good could ever come of that? They make it sound like a fairy tale, what Jesus has done. And then sometimes they counter it with, you know, I think evolution is the way, or I think this philosophy I've heard recently is the way, or you know what? What about this and what about that? And they try and bring up all these seeming contradictions that they've heard of in God's word or the concept of who God is. And sometimes they're antagonistic, sometimes they're just quiet, and they just kind of wait until you tire yourself out, hoping you'll just be quiet. But we plant. If someone remains in that attitude and has that hard soil, sadly, they will die and go to hell. This is the future for that person, but it doesn't stop us from planting the good seed of God's word. And we plant it on rocky soil, and a shoot comes up, and we're excited. You share God's word with someone, you invite someone to church, or you see a new member, and it's so exciting to have them, and they're on fire for God's word, and they recognize that Jesus has died for their sins, and it's so comforting, and it's so exciting to have that person alongside you, and then also, you know, they're coming faithfully, they're getting involved, and then all of a sudden, they kind of fade away. Kind of look for them, but they're not there, and And you reach out to him, and what happened? And maybe it's one thing, maybe it's a string of things, but what often happens is that seed comes up. If the soil is shallow and it's full of rocks and nothing changes, then that shoots up. But Jesus says the cares and concerns, that the persecution is like the sun beating down on a plant with very little root, and it quickly scorches. They tried to put their faith into practice. They tried to live their faith out in their lives, to make the changes in their lives, to follow God's will instead of what the world preaches. You see, unbelievers don't generally get bothered too much by the devil because he already has them. And he's got them tricked and duped, and he'll just help them along their merry way. Maybe get them to do worse things, but believers, people who understand that Jesus is our Savior and understand that God's word is actually God's word, you have a target on your back. And the devil's going to come after you. You try to live your life. Maybe it's something simple. You try cleaning up your language. I'm not going to swear as much. I'm not going to drop as many F-bombs or take God's name in vain. And people at work make fun of you for not swearing along with them. Why would they do that? But they do. Or the guy says, you know what, hey, I wanna wait until we're married to sleep with you, and the girl dumps him and says, you don't love me. No, I'm loving God and I'm showing you how God wants me to love you, but whatever. And it's hard. Those things hurt. And you try to live your life, and people make fun of you for believing in Jesus or for spending your time at church, even going to church, even talking about Jesus, even representing Christ. And that weighs heavily. And then the other thing, you know, it's affecting your day-to-day life. Your groups of friends aren't hanging out with you as much, or whatever it might be that you're struggling with, and the devil just pours it on and wants you to think that if you just leave it all behind and you go back to your old way of life and try and forget all this, everything will be better like it used to be. It must have been so much better. And so that doesn't stop us, though, from planting the good seed into rocky soil, because this is what they need. Sometimes we plant it on thorny soil. Lots of dirt there, and it's a strong plant coming up, and this person maybe grew up in the faith, and they're practicing their faith, and they're living for him. But as they get older, and then the responsibilities grow, and the life happens, then they start to worry about the things of this life, or the cares and concerns of this life, or what's it going to be like for my children or my family, and look at, I want to get them involved, or I want the opportunities, or you know what, if I only had a little bit more money, it'd make everything in life a little bit better, or maybe I need to be involved in this, or that, or the other thing, and we never stop to ask, how is this going to impact my faith life, or how is this going to impact my time in God's word or his house, or my children's time in God's word or his house? And the devil's so tricky. It's like those weeds growing up right alongside and just kind of wrapping themselves around. And then the fear sets in. Maybe I won't have enough. What's going to happen to me? And the fear starts, and we start to turn to other things rather than God's word, or to be patient with what God's plan is for us. And the weeds just wrap themselves around, choking out the life in that plant and even blocking the sun. You ever see that, where weeds grow up taller than the plant and block out the sun? That's what the devil wants to do with the rocky soil. But it doesn't stop us from planting the seed. We grieve that this is the reaction to God's word when we share it or when we live our faith. We grieve that. But we share the seed of God's word because that is what has the power. That is what has the power to change hearts. That is what has the power to save. Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Isaiah got to deliver the prophecy from the Lord. My word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word has the power, and so we share that word, regardless of what the soil type might be. And we thank God for good soil, that God has given us good soil, or made us good soil. Faith, his word, it's all gift. It's not a decision we make. It's not something we can conjure up in our hearts or try really hard to get. No, God has blessed us and made us into good soil, and he grows us with his word. So we're baptized into his family, given forgiveness, given all the blessings that Christ has earned for us, connected to us in our baptism, as we grow, as we learn God's word, as we receive the sacrament, the Lord's Supper, and receive his body and blood for our forgiveness and our strengthening, he grows us and grows us and grows us, as he does Christians to produce 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. And so you plant the good seed of God's word and thank God for good seed to sow and pray for good soil. Pray for good soil. And as ones who are gifted to understand this parable and have the meaning clear to us because of Jesus, he gives us hearts to hear. We take warning that we don't turn in or go back or revert to these types of soil. When God's word rebukes you, whether it's through a Christian friend or through a pastor or through a teacher or through your reading of God's word or remembering something you learned way back when, and you look at it and you go, no, this is God's will for me and I'm living against it. We don't just turn a blind eye and say, I'm not going to care about that. I'm going to drown that out and kind of harden the soil of our heart. No, we repent and we trust in God for forgiveness and our Savior for forgiveness, and we change. We live for him. He transforms us. When the rocky soil of persecution comes and we suffer because we hold on to Jesus and we live for him, and it's difficult, and we know what's right, but we don't feel right. You ever have that? I know this is right, but the feelings don't follow. I feel just awful, or I feel hurt, or whatever it is. We hold on to Jesus, and we dig those roots down deep, and we clear away those rocks, and even though the pressure is there, we hold on to what matters, to our Savior and his word, and we trust it. And when the worries come, and the struggles come, and life happens to us in all its awfulness, and sometimes life is worse or difficult, more difficult for the Christian because we hold on to Christ. I mean, we're better off, but it's still hard. We follow Christ, and we rely on him, and we hold on to his word, and we ask God to clear away the weeds of worry and fear and the temptations that abound around us and want to enwrap us with them. And we give thanks to God, and as good soil, we soak in his word. We take all that he has to offer, and we rejoice over it, and we follow him, and we try and share it with others as that seed is sown by us into others. And why do we do this? It's because we have the thing that makes the difference. We have the thing that changes hearts. We have the seed that is God's word. And he came for all of us. Haven't we been kind of all these at one point in our life? And he came to suffer and die for all. He spilled his blood, took our punishments for the time we said, get lost, God. I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. Forget you. For the times that we kowtowed to persecution, or we gave in and we did what the group wanted, even though we know it was wrong. For the times that we got so worried about things or wrapped up in opportunities that we left God in the dust. And for the times we sit here hearing God's word and maybe even have distractions, but yet we're hearing it, we're thanking God for it. God came to pay for all of our sins. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And he did. So your sins are forgiven, and that you do have heaven as your home. And that God loves you and he goes with you. And so we plant these seeds, knowing the seed has the power. I mean, you think of the guy named Saul, who later became known as the Apostle Paul. I don't know if there's harder soil than him. He hated Jesus. He persecuted Christians, had them tried and wanted them all put to death. And he hunted Christians down. And yet Jesus broke through that heart of stone and put a heart of flesh as he planted that seed of his word. He made Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, and he grew and grew and grew in faith and understanding, and yielded a harvest 30, 60, 100, 1,000 times what was sown. That's by God's grace. All of it's by God's grace. Peter, man, rockier soil than Peter. You know, how many times did Jesus have to pick away the arrogance, the pride, the rashness? You know, he was bold, but then ran in fear. So the fearfulness, all of it, just picking rocks constantly, Peter. And then Peter denies even knowing him, but yet Jesus forgives him and says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Picks all the rocks away. And Peter, weeks later, or not even that long after Jesus ascended and went into heaven, he goes and he boldly proclaims that Jesus is the Christ. He does so in the temple courts. And when the same group that weeks earlier had convicted Jesus to die, they gathered together and they called Peter in. Peter didn't hesitate, but he said, come what may, he said this. He said, salvation is found in no other name, for there is no other name given under heaven, given to men by which we must be saved. He boldly proclaimed Christ. Martha was a good woman. Martha took very good care about taking care of Jesus and the disciples, got so wrapped up in the business of that, and that's a good godly thing to take care of others, but she was letting it wrap itself around her and choking out the one thing needful. She even reprimanded Jesus for her sister sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing God's word. And Jesus rebuked her. While later, when her brother Lazarus died, and she had reached out to Jesus, but Jesus didn't come, and 4 days after he'd been in the tomb, Jesus arrives. Who's the first to run out to him? Martha. And Martha confesses her faith in a confession that rivals, if not surpasses, the Apostle Peter's, showing that she understood that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then she professed her confidence in the resurrection from the dead on the last day. John, the Apostle John, I mean, not perfect, but he soaked in God's word. He followed Jesus. He stayed as close to him as anybody. He took care of Jesus' mother. He wrote about Jesus' love in such a profound and sophisticated, amazing way. So you just marvel at the beauty of God's love for us, and yet in the simplest and most understandable way. He's the one who recorded, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Thank God for good seed to sow, and pray for good soil. Thank him that you understand these things, that you have the seed that makes all the difference, the seed of his word, which has the power to save. Share it, sow it, and pray for good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. For our stewardship thought, as we take time to be encouraged in our stewardship of what God has given to us and our gifts back to him, of our time, talents, and offerings, with the theme of sowing and reaping, we go to Paul's letter to the Corinthians as he encouraged generosity in the Corinthian congregation. He said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This is our encouragement from God's word.